Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, it's good to be here. I have always enjoyed being around God's people. And I've always enjoyed being around missionaries and pastors and evangelists. And it's good to be here with Brother Homer. I met him many years ago. I've never met anybody like him, but I met him many years ago. And we love Brother Homer. We appreciate his ministry, his love for the Lord, and what a blessing it is to come share with you the Word of God tonight. I enjoyed that message. I tell you, Brother Wood, that's wonderful. About the church. When you leave the church, you're in trouble. When you ignore the church, you're in trouble. And we'd better get back to the church. And what a blessing. I used to have a dad, and he wasn't a preacher. But he was the smartest man in the Bible I've ever seen. And he knew the Bible. He knew preaching. And I remember I'd say certain things, and he'd say, "Boy, you was 40 miles off tonight." And I'd say, "I thought I was right." I was a preacher one night, and I said, "There ain't but one thing to do for a dead church, and that's to bury it. Take it out and have a funeral." He said, "No, if you're the right kind of evangelist, you'll resurrect it and bless God, bring life down there to it." And I believe that's the way it ought to be. We ought to come back to the church and emphasize the local church, the autonomy of the local church. Well, it's good to be here. I'm glad. I guess you've heard this all of your life. There are three kind of missionaries. There's the go missionary. That's the one that leaves home and friends and goes out to that place. Then there's the co-missionary. And that's the one that stays back here, supports the church, and sends out the missionary. And then there's the no missionary, a man that doesn't believe in missions and doesn't believe in getting the gospel out. I tell you, I believe we ought to find out what group we're in tonight and see. But in my church, I used to have three kinds of shots. Big shots, little shots, and some that ought to have been shots. Say amen.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of them like that. But I do appreciate missions, and I appreciate the privilege of being here in this mission conference. I think God spoke in your hearts, caused a little flame to come up. Get you ready. Get you ready to go. I remember a friend of mine, and he said, "I just don't want to go to the mission field. I know God's called me." And he prayed, and he prayed. And then he went to the mission field, and after he was there, came back 7 years later for furlough. He said to me, "They're the most lovely people I've ever seen." He said, "You know, God put such a love in my heart. They looked strange to me when I went there, but when I came back here, you're strange now."
Yeah.
And they're not strange anymore, and that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
That's the way it ought to be in the mission field. I had a friend of mine died the other day, very precious man of God. First time I ever met him, he didn't believe in missions. We was in the Jubilee in Atlanta. We jubileed many, many years ago. And we started the one in Atlanta. And he came. And I never will forget, he got under such a burden for missions while he was there, seeing all the missionaries that we had. He asked me to line them up, the missionaries. And he dressed with he dressed with the finest. His apparel was the finest. And he took off his coat, and he got down and cried over every missionary, shined every missionary's shoe with his coat. Well, I tell you, we felt like crawling out there on our knees. We felt like going out of there weeping. Here's a man that had never believed in missions. God opened his eyes, and all he wanted to do in that conference was just take off his coat and wipe the shoes of those that would go take the gospel of the Lord. Well, I tell you, it's wonderful when you see the need and you see what God's plan is. And I praise the Lord for the privilege of being here tonight, and what a blessing it is. All right? I want you to take your Bible real quickly. Now, I have to just preach evangelistically. That's all I know. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. That's all the speed I got. I don't know but one time. And that's let her go, and we'll just try to do our best tonight to help you and see what the Lord has for us. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the promises of the Great Commission. I never heard anybody preach on that, the promises of the Great Commission. But before I read the scripture and have you to stand, I believe the nearest thing to the heart of Jesus, the nearest thing to the heart of Jesus is the Great Commission. That's why he came, that's why he died, that's why he was raised, and now he sits making intercession. I believe that's near. If I sat with you 10 minutes, I can tell you what's dearest and nearest your heart. You don't have to stay around a person long. You'll find out what's dearest to that person's heart. But I believe that the Great Commission is the thing that Jesus had dear to his heart. I want you to stand with me, please, all over the house, and turn to the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, chapter 24, I'll read just a few verses, and then I'll bring you the message tonight. Luke chapter 24, the ascension, it's all here. The Great Commission is right here to evangelize, to tell the story of Jesus. And the Lord likes to forgive sin and save people everywhere. Somebody said to me one time, said, "Preacher, do you believe God is a respecter of persons?" I said, "No, and I don't believe God's a respecter of places. And why should we have all the preaching when some have never heard it the first time? When some need to hear it, we need to get stirred up about mission." Luke 24. Would you look with me, please? We'll begin reading verse 46. The Bible said in chapter 24, you may need to turn your page there. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's 1112, page 1112. Look at the scripture, verse 46. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, Thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now notice, "And behold, I'll send the promise of my Father unto you upon you, but ye tarry the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." A lot of times we go before we endued with power. We need to be endued with power. Then verse 50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." I want you to remember something. When Jesus came into the world, he came by a miracle. When he left the world, he left by a miracle. When he came into the world, they announced he'd be a blessing. The Savior was born. Oh, I tell you, that blessed me. But when he left, he went up and held out his hands and left us, blessing us. A miracle when he came and a miracle when he left. I like that. Look at the next verse. The Bible said, "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Boy, I'll tell you this, we ought to leave this conference the greatest joy that we've ever had since we've been saved. Joy unspeakable and full of great glory. And the Bible said they were continually in the temple praising God. That'll scare some of y'all to death right there. In the temple, praising and blessing God, amen. So what a blessing. Now look with me back, if you will, verse 47 is the commission. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are the witnesses of these things." He said, here it is. He said, among all nations, but you must start in Jerusalem. I want you to be seated, all the house, if you will. I'm going to pray and then bring you the message tonight on the promises of the Great Commission. Father, we thank you for this conference. Thank you for our Brother Smith and for Brother Wood and these, Brother Green, that have preached so faithfully. We thank you for men of God that have given their lives. And as they go across the country telling people about the Lord Jesus, what a blessing it is to hear from heaven and then to come in a conference like this, that we might be challenged, that we might be stirred, that we might be moved by the great power of God. So I pray that you'll speak to our hearts touch tonight. Our Father, you know what I need. And I pray, precious God, that you'll so speak to my own heart that I'll be able to relate the Word of God to these. Oh, how we feel that we need to humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus, that we need a fresh anointing touch at His feet. And I pray that each one that's received a certificate, each one that's received a commission, each one that's working and praying and looking to labor out yonder, that we may recognize the plan of God. I pray that you'll bless every heart and stir us tonight in the preaching of the Word of God. And all you do, we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. For a few moments, I'm going to speak on the promises of the Great Commission. Now, before I give the message, I love the promises of God. I remember when I became a Christian, I used to get the Bible down, and I'd say, that's mine. And I'd turn another page, and I'd say, that's mine. And I read where Simon Peter said the great and precious promises. I don't care whatever promise God ever makes you. It's very precious. And when God promises you something, beloved, it'll come true. You can always count on God's promises. Brother Homer knows my wife, and she's very peculiar in some ways. But he knows 3 years ago, we'd been married 40 years. She said to Homer, I want to tell you something. I've been married to Mays 40 years, and said, did you know I read in the Bible where Israel is in the wilderness for 40 years? And if it don't get better next year, Homer, it's all over. That's all it is to it. But he said, she said, I make you a promise. Well, let me say to you that are here tonight, bless your hearts, it's wonderful to stand on the promises of God. I don't care what promise you find. I remember when I was first saved, I was taking final exams at North Carolina State University the second year. And as I was taking final exams, God promised me two things the night I was saved. I was saved in C number 12, room 813. I never will forget how God's, He got a hold of my heart. I went to the Baptist church on the campus and it's dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I went to the Methodist and couldn't get anything. Finally went to the Catholics and said, Chicago, Milwaukee, and St. Louis, and didn't get a thing. I want to tell you something. When I knelt on my knees that night in room 813, see dormitory. God reached down and saved me. I tell you, it's been blessed that I found two promises in the Bible that night. I couldn't sleep that night. Somebody said, what'd you do? I just shouted all night. And I'll tell you something, I'm still shouting, praise the Lord. I believe that God's people ought to be a praising and shouting people, and what a blessing it is. And you say, what did he promise you? First, he said, you'll never be alone again. I'm so glad I've never been alone. I'm glad there's two always with me, goodness and mercy. And every once in a while, I'll say, crowd me, boys, I want to know you're back there. Praise God, get a little closer. I want to know that you're back there. But you say, teacher, and I want you to know the second promise he made me. He said, you'll never thirst again. I'm glad ever since that night. I tell you, I've been satisfied. He said, if you drink of this water. And the woman said, I want that water. I want the water that satisfies. All over this world, they want the water that satisfies. But I believe it's the dearest thing to the heart of Jesus, the Great Commission. Now, just a couple of things by way of introduction. I'll get into the message. Number one, the Great Commission's given 5 times in the first 5 books of the New Testament. Given 5 times in the first 5 books of the New Testament. And every time God gave that commission, listen to me, He put a special promise with it. I never did see that till I was studying once for a missionary conference. And I said to Dennis that drove me up tonight, I said, oh, I found those promises. Now, God says, if you'll go, and if you'll be a missionary, I'll give you these five promises. With each part and each commission in these first five books, you'll find, my friend, a special, special promise. Let me give you those five quickly tonight, and we'll let you go. Number one, there's His promise, listen, of His program. I read to you where He said, you're to begin at Jerusalem. Any church that's not a missionary-minded church, and a soul-winning church, and a witnessing church, mister, it cannot take part in the Great Commission. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and they continued daily in the temple, and in every house, preaching the Word of God. You see, He said, first, beginning in Jerusalem, it's got to begin here in this church. Your church has got to be the beginning. That's the program of God. It doesn't start out here with somebody in the woods that says, I think I'll be a missionary. The program was beginning at the city of Jerusalem, the home base. I want to say to you, my friend, I believe we have a home base, and I believe it's the church of the living God. And I believe that's God's program. And then He said, among all nations. He said, that's my program. Not only be selfish here and win people, Chattanooga and Rossville and Port Oglethorpe. Listen to me. If you won't win people to God here, you won't win them in Africa. If you won't win them here, you won't win them, brother, in Spain. We've got to get our eyes open. The program that has the promise with it. He said, beginning in Jerusalem, and then among all nations. I remember I got through preaching in Atlanta 35 years ago, and a young man was standing at the altar. And he just kept staying and staying, and I heard him weeping, and I leaned over and I said, can I help you, sir? He said, no, I'm going to be a missionary. And I said, wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad you're going to be a missionary. You know what he did? He looked me in the face, and he said, I'm going to be right there at home. I said, why? He said, God gave me a love for black people. And he said, Atlanta's full of them. And I'm going to stay here in this church and go out every day as a missionary to the blacks. I want to tell you, that's 35 years ago. Every once in a while I'll see him, and he'll be coming out of that black session singing and shouting and praising God. And I want to tell you something, God's used him. But here at home, that's God's program, that's His promise, beginning in Jerusalem, then all nations. I think I'll give you an illustration of a missionary that I met one time. I met him, he came in, he didn't make an impression on me. I thought nothing of his testimony, except he was humble and he loved Jesus. And after he got through, he said, I'm going to Brazil. And I said, do you have a visa? Do you have... He said, no, I got a little church over here, Ethelon Baptist Church. And I'm going out of that church by faith. I said, do you have any money? Oh, he said, I have no money. You don't have any support? He said, no. I said, you have enough money to get to New York to fly to Brazil from here in North Carolina? He said, no, but I'm going. He went to New York without money, without a visa, without a passport. But he landed on the Amazon River a little later. There's 22 Baptist churches down there now. And I saw him the other day, and he said, Brother Mays, he said, among all nations. He said, praise God, I could go. And I went. Now, God doesn't want everybody to go like that. God don't want everybody to be evangelist like Mace Jackson. And God don't want everybody to be a pastor like Brother Wood. But God has a place. And God has a work. And brother, it's among the nations. To begin here and among nations. And so that first one is found in Luke 24, the promise of the program. Secondly, there's the promise of His presence. And He said, Matthew 28, and you know about going and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, teach them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you always. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong tonight. Hear me very closely. I believe that Jesus is with every Christian. But I believe there's a special promise for a missionary. I believe he said, you go, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. I don't care where the end is and where you finally wind up as a missionary. There's a promise. You hear me tonight? And he said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end. A promise. What a blessing it is to know that the Lord's with you. And it's good. When you get up in the morning, you feel like nobody's with you. It's good to know that somebody's with you. It's good to know that when you pack your bags and have to leave and go yonder to Mexico, like this brother will probably have to go, somebody will be with him. And that's a blessing to know. Brother Homer used to like to hear me tell this about, I came in one day and my wife's very reserved type person. She's typing. And I went over to her and I said, Dot, I'm going downtown. Would you like to go? And she said, no, I'm busy. I said, well, praise God, just stay busy then. I went over to my son, and he's my pastor now. He's my pastor. But anyway, I went over to his room. He's picking out choir music. And I said, Nolan, would you like to go with me downtown? And he said, no, I'm busy picking out choir music. And I said, well, bless God, stay here. So I slipped out, and I've got the best neighbors you've ever seen. I mean, I've got good neighbors. And the third house below me, one of the best friends I've ever had. And the real friend, but I've got good neighbors. A widow lady lives on this side. Two houses up, a black neighbor. Fine, fine neighbor. Now, hear me now, I'm going to tell you something. I went out that day and I said, Lord, my wife's too busy. And I said, my son's too busy, but thank God you're not too busy. I said, you made it on. You're running everything, but you'll go with me. So I just went around the other side of my car and opened the door, and I said, Jesus, get in. And praise God, he got in. And you know what we did? We rode downtown. Amen. He said, lo, I'm with you. And he was in that car with me. And I was just talking. You ever been to Five Points in Atlanta, Georgia, talking to the Lord? Everybody looking around, wondering what in the world you're doing in there, talking to yourself. And I went right down through Peachtree Street, right down through Five Points, pulled up behind the post office. I said, thank you, Jesus, for riding with me. I'm going to let you out. I got up and went around and opened the door, and I said, get out. I didn't notice a black man up there on the ramp at the post office. His eyes got big. He said, I ain't seen nobody get out of that car. I said, I know you ain't seen him, but he got out just the same. Praise God. He said he'd go with me all the way. I said, hallelujah, he's with me. I went and got the mail. You know, they're superstitious, some of our black friends. And I came out, and he's behind some mail bags. And I went over to open the door, and I said, Jesus, get in. And I saw the white of those eyes stick around there. And I said, something bothering you? He said, I sure wouldn't like for you to be my pastor. I said, why? He said, you're too spooky about this. I said, no. I said, I'm glad that Jesus said he would go with me. He'll go with you in the time of your valley experiences. He'll go with you on your mountaintop experiences. He'll go with you, Mr. Every Place You Go. If I had time, we'd stay on that a little longer, but that's the second promise of the Great Commission. The third one is protection. Oh, the promise of his protection. Now, Scofield says, and maybe some of these guys argue about this, but in Matthew 16, he tells us to go and he'll protect us from three things. I'm glad when you go out yonder to the mission field, or if you stay here in Chattanooga as a missionary, or wherever you go, he will protect you. He said, I'll protect you from demons and devils. I'll protect you from serpents. I'll protect you from disease. He said, I'll protect you, my friend. Oh, he said, from deadly poison. He'll protect us. He expects us to use that protection. And you'll think sometime that somebody's going to destroy your ministry and destroy your church and destroy you. But he'll protect you. Thank God when you go to that mission field,
and the communists begin to close in on you, listen, He'll protect you. You don't have to worry. He will protect you. Let me give you an illustration. I love West Virginia. We're on most powerful radio stations in West Virginia every day. Wheeling and Huntington and Beckley, and we won't go into that. Listen to me. They're great people in West Virginia. I was up there preaching a meeting when I was a young preacher. I didn't have no more sense to do a lot of things. I wouldn't do some things I did then. And I guess I should do more of some of the things I did do then. But I got up there, and I was going to be in a two-week meeting in this little Baptist church. And they told me, said, Brother Mays, the Jehovah Witnesses are making an inroad up here. I said, bless God, I'll tell you what we'll do. Second week of my meeting on Friday, I said, we'll have a burning. We'll take those Jehovah's Witness books. I'll ask everybody to bring them. And we'll put them in front of the little church, and I'll strike a match. And we'll burn them up while I'm here. And every night I had to walk about two blocks. You ever been to West Virginia? The houses are either up this way or under the road. And where I stand is on the road about a half a mile from the church. And that Friday night they brought to it. But there's one old guy that sat right by where this brother sits, this missionary. And he never said a word. He looked at me every night. And I looked at him every night. And I just preached, bless God. And so I said, well, he's scaring me. So after I got through preaching that night, I said to Brother Leach, I walk home. He said, no, said the Jehovah's Witnesses stirred up. You burnt your books. I said, really? He said, yeah, and you may get in trouble. And so I said, but I'll walk home. I said, who's this scared? My knees just knocked in, you know, and I didn't know what to do. So I started walking home. Guess who followed me? That big old guy never smiled. That big old guy that never spoken, never said amen. He walked right behind me, and I had my Bible, and I said, dear Lord, you call me, and it may be over here in a minute. I just don't know. Now, you get up there in West Virginia, and they're lonely hills. And you start walking down, you think. And so I stopped, and I said, now, Lord, you're right there. He's behind me. And if he's going to kill me, let him go ahead. And I'm going to heaven. And when I started up again, he started up. He didn't say a word standing back there. And I looked, and I said, coward. And I just walked right on. Just didn't bother me a bit. I got down to where Brother Leach lived. He lived down on the highway there. I got down and I said, who is that old big bully up there? Why, he said, Brother Mays, I meant to tell you, that man's deaf and dumb. Said today he was in the store and somebody wrote on a piece of paper, they'll hurt Brother Mays tonight. Said he took that paper and said, no, they won't. I'll walk home with you. You know what I started to do? Praise God. I started to go back and make that trip again. I said, praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to know that the Lord can protect us. Now listen to me. I'm going to give you something. I was ordained in the second oldest independent Baptist church on the East Coast. Calvary in Hendersonville, North Carolina. The oldest. He's talking about Frank Norris tonight. Old Frank used to come there. Barbara had an independent church in Danville. That was all. And the Calvary Baptist. So I was ordained in that church. But I remember an old missionary came back, and nobody believed him but me. I mean, my pastor, as good as I loved him. And by the way, he preached in our church 52 years.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to be a bus driver and get off at every stop. Amen. He said, bless God, I'm sticking around here. And he pastored that church 52 years. And I loved him. And he was God's man. But here's what he told me. That missionary got up and he told, oh, he's a precious old missionary. And he got up and he said, when I first went to Africa, and he's telling the story of his experiences in Africa. He said, I decided after I went to language school and he said, I just decided, Brother Pastor, that I'd take two men with me. We'd go up the river, the jungle river, where they'd never seen a white man. And I'd take the King James Version of the Bible. Of course, that's all they had then. They had better sense than we got now. Say amen! But he said, we'll take the King James Version. That'll take care of me. God will protect me. And he said, after we got 80-something miles up, he said, I said to him, you fellas sit in the boat here because you may be a little afraid. He said, I'm not. He said, they're headhunters back in those bushes. He said, they'll eat us. but said, when I step out with this book, it'll scare them. And he said, folks, you'll not believe it, but I stepped out of the little boats and started over into the bush country. And three men jumped out with spears and came running toward me. And I held up the Bible. And he said, when they got about 25 feet from me, they screamed and threw their spears in the air and ran away. He said, believe it or not, 2 years later, I'd led the headman of the headhunters to the Lord. And as we sat around the bonfire, he said, I said, hey, would you tell me why you threw your spear away and the other fellas? And he said, that old African started to weep and the tears streamed down his cheeks. And he said, hey, brother, you don't know? He said, no. Was it the Bible? He said, no, I didn't see the Bible. He said, but when you started toward us, you got close enough to where we could see your eyes. We're going to throw that spear. And a man in white stepped up by you with a drawn sword. And we ran! And we ran! Peace that the world can't give. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth you. I got a peace for you. Missionary, you'll need that peace. Boy, there'll be more turmoil and strife and gender in your home and where you're going to minister and what you're going to do. But you remember this evangelist said something tonight. There's a deep, settled peace that can come over the soul of that person that's trusting in the Lord. There's a deep, settled peace. Aren't you glad for that peace the Lord has for you? Years ago, there was a ship coming in the harbor of New York. And there's an old missionary coming home to see her family, and he called her Granny. She'd been out there for years with her husband. In fact, she buried her husband on the mission field. She came home for a few days to see her pastor and her friends. As she came home, a storm burst forth in that harbor there. If you've never been in that harbor where the Statue of Liberty stands, you need to go. It'll thrill you. It'll thrill you. Just see that. Well, that's the prettiest woman I ever saw in my life standing there with that torch in her hand. Amen. It'll thrill you. I kind of feel like the black soldier did when he was coming back from World War II. And the boat slowly went around that woman. He looked at her, kept looking at her. And then she's about to get out of sight. And he said, hey, ma'am, you sure is pretty. But if you see me again, you're going to have to come to South Alabama, because if I ever get there, I ain't coming back. Say amen. I want you to know, brother, something about that harbor that's beautiful. And a storm blew up, and the captain said, all of the passengers in your cabins. But that old missionary woman, that old granny, didn't go down there. She stood up on the deck of the ship, and the wind and the waves and the rain beat upon her precious old face. And that captain said, go up and tell Granny that I said to get down here or she'll be blown into the bay. And so the little sailor went up and said, Granny, what are you singing? And she said, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Flooding my soul, yeah. The peace of God. Yeah. He said, there's a peace that nobody... Oh, he said, we're in a storm. Ain't no peace around. She said, mister, I'm talking about my heart. And that little sailor said, well, the captain said for you to either get in that cabin or you'll be blown into the bay. She said, you go back and tell that captain I've got a husband in heaven and a daughter in New York. And I'm going to stay all night with one of them. It don't make any difference which one it is. Peace! Yeah. Wonderful peace! God gives! Oh, there's a deep set of peace in God. A deep set of peace. Amen. She didn't bring much money back to the mission field, but she brought that peace. Well, you hear me? A deep set of peace. What a blessing that is. the deep 7 days. I came back from Miami today. I promised Brother Homer, I said, I'll come up and do what I can, Brother Homer. I said, stick me any place. I don't know where I fit, but just ram me anywhere, and I'll do my best I can to help folks. And I found out if you don't help folks, you don't do much good after all. I've heard preachers say, I just chew them to pieces and cut them up. Listen, if I can say something to you missionaries when you get over yonder, and I mean everything's going bad, you can step behind that little hut and sing wonderful, wonderful pieces. That'll be worth more than anything I've seen. That'll help you when everything's discouraging and dark and low. But I flew back and I heard an illustration one time. A little girl was sitting right next to the cockpit on the airplane, and the old airplane was going up and down, and they hit a terrible storm. And the lady behind the little girl was all excited. She belonged to the missionary circle and everything they had in the church. But she's screaming and hollering and carrying on. That little girl was singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah. Well, the Bible tells me so. Yeah. And finally, that airplane got out from the storm. And the old lady touched the little girl and said, how could you sing in the midst of the storm? The little girl with tears in her eyes said, it's down here, man. It didn't disturb me. I got a peace right down here. And by the way, my brother's the captain of this thing, and he ain't never letting one fall. Said, praise the Lord. I have a peace. Brother, that's a wonderful thing. I have the peace of God as a missionary. Peace of God. I've never been an artist, but I heard once of a man wealth, and he went to this great school in New York where they gathered 200 of the finest painters, artists in the world. And he said, we'll be back next year and I want somebody to paint a picture of peace in the time of storm. He said, I'm giving $5,000 for the best painting. So you think about it. And when you come back next year, we'll choose the one painting that portrays peace in the time of storm. Next year, they came. They got down to 3 finalists, and they had it all 3 veiled. The man said, this is a lovely, lovely picture of peace. But it didn't win first prize. And he took the veil off of that first painting. And he showed a mother standing over a little fretting child. And she was singing peace to that little child. They clapped. And some of them cried and said, only a mother could offer peace to a little child. He said, the next one is pretty good, but it didn't win. And he took the veil and he unveiled the second photo of the second painting. He showed an old cow out in the cow pasture, chewing her cud while the wind blew and the rain descended. She just kept right on. She said, that didn't win. Then he said, ladies and gentlemen, here's the masterpiece. And he picked up the veil of the number one. And when he picked it up, it looked terrible. It showed a background of a big rock. And it showed trees kissing the ground. And the wind and the sand had torn that place apart in a snowstorm. And one of the painters said, hey, where's any peace about that? He said, you got to look close to find the peace here. Said, up in the cleft of that rock, a little bird stuck his head on its wing. And while the world outside was in turmoil and a storm, that little bird found peace. And they looked close enough, and there was a little bird fast. I want to tell you, I'm glad tonight. Oh, you say, preacher, that promise. He said, my peace I give unto thee. Notice number 5. Write it down. He promises power. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power as the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's no use to try to sing. There's no use to try to preach. There's no use to try to pray. Hear me, there's no use to go to the mission field if you go in your own strength and your own power. But when he, the great preacher, is with you, when He anoints you. When the anointing of the Spirit of God and the power that Jesus said, ye shall be my witnesses unto all the world. But first, you've got to find that power. You've got to turn Jerusalem. Don't leave unless you're equipped with the power. Don't leave. You'll need the power to face the forces of hell on the mission field. Don't leave until you have God's power upon you. I've been independent ever since I started preaching. I was ordained in Independent Baptist Church. But listen to me. I have a Southern Baptist friend of mine. He and I print a lot of books. And I called him and I disobeyed God. I shouldn't have done it. But I said, E.J., I got a book that you printed back in 1942. And I said, you and I have printed some of the greatest books. We printed Cyclone Max books, the great Methodist books. Oh, we printed some of the greatest books. But I said, I found one with Joe Henry Hankins that nobody has ever reprinted. He said, what is it? I said, you printed it. He said, Brother Mays, I'm eating up with cancer. He said, you'll have to print it yourself. And I did. And it's called The Triumph of the Cross. Seven great sermons on the blood and the cross. I think they're the greatest I ever read. But let me give you something tonight. Oh, E.J. said to me, he said, you know, Mays, you've been my friend. He said, I'm a Southern Baptist, and you don't agree with us. And I said, you know that. But he said, you're my friend. And when I knew I had cancer, I told my wife, I'd like for Mays to pray for me. And she called me, and I prayed for him. But 2 weeks before he died, I called him. I said, E.J., I'm having that book printed. Oh, he said, that's fine. He said, I was here to help you with it. But I said, E.J., you'll get better. And he said, no, I'm not, Mays. I'm not, Mays. Don't give me hope. I'm not. I'm going home. And I said, E.J., he said, you told me something a long time ago, Mays. I didn't believe. I didn't think it's important, but you told me that if you're going to be an evangelist, you had to have a special endowment with power from on high to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and snatch them from sin and pity and the grave. And he said, Brother Mays, I have to go across the waters to find conviction now. He said, I don't find it here in America. He said, we've lost the power. He told me that 2 weeks before he died. And when I heard he died, I said to my wife, he knew. It's by the power of God that we preach. It's by the power of God that we do great mission work of God. You go out yourself and your wisdom and your... listen to me. You'll fail. You'll fall flat on your face. You better have the power of God. When I was ordained by 17 of the finest old fellows you ever saw. I never forget them. How my preacher sent me out in my aisle. Listen to what he said. He said, if you ever deny this book, I'll beat you to death. I'll tell you something. He said, if y'all won't like it, he said, if you ever quit shouting, I'll kick you. And I'm still shouting. And I'm still preaching this book. Brother, it's the only thing. I don't want to tell you when I was ordained. I never thought of this. My dad was such a thoughtful person. My dad said to me, he said, son, you have invited an old preacher over here. You don't even have a car. Don't have a telephone. But son, he's got the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'd like you, if you don't mind, invite him to be on your presbytery. So I called my pastor and he said, you need old man Corn? Said, that's the mountainous, the backwardest preacher. But said, there's one thing about it. When he stands up, there's something about him different from other preachers. And boy, I never forget. He was at my ordination. He's the last man I asked to lay hands on me of the 17 preachers. And I never forget, he laid his hands on my head and he said, Mays, I love you. He said, if I thought you'd ever deny God in the Bible and truth, I'd never lay my hands on you. But he said, I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost on you. And brother, something hit me in the top of the head, went plumb out my toes. You say it didn't do it. You wasn't there. Bless God, you don't know what happened. Say amen. I want to tell you, Mr. God came, and the power of God was with you. Listen to me. You can't do any kind of work for God without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can get all this organization and all these gimmicks and everything. Yes, now, I'm not against them. I don't care what you do. But give them the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost when you get them to church.
Yes.
Oh, give them the Word of God when they come. Give them the Word of God. It's amazing. Give them the Word of God. Let me give you this about the power of the Spirit. Since you mentioned Brother Cyril, several years ago, I pastored a church in Central Baptist Church in Greenwood. 67 Baptist preachers wanted to meet for the power of the Holy Ghost. And all of them was in Cyrus' caliber, and they wasn't off, and they wasn't heretics, and they wasn't seeking second and third blessings, but they sought the power that God wanted to give them. So we went out, and Cyrus had two half-time churches. Then he just took Pelham, and I remember with down at Pelham, at 67 Baptist preachers up on a cow pasture. Brother, I remember we was up there, and we was praying for the power of God to be upon our ministry and our churches. And Brother Sider said, let's let Mays preach. I said, yeah, I can't even see. Bless God, it's dark around here. And you know what they're doing? They're climbing trees. I've never been to the Atlanta 500. I've never been to the Daytona 500. But I've been to the Holy Ghost 500 a few times. Praise God. You talk about a time, they're having it. They're running around. And I thought I was going to get killed. So I said, all right, I'll just preach. And I got to preaching out there in that cow pasture in the dark. And they got to shouting, those Baptist preachers all over that cow pasture. And a lady from a big church right over next to the cow pasture, she couldn't stand her nerves. She said, boy, listen, I'm telling you, her nerves were shot as she listened a little to that shouting and preaching. And you know what she did? She called the highway patrol in Greer. That's the nearest thing to Pelham. And she said, help! Help! And the sergeant up there said this, said, excuse me, excuse me. And he said, there's a bunch of Baptist preachers running wild in the cow pasture. And you know what he said? Said, call me if they get in the highway and I can do something about it. Let me tell you something. They can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. That sergeant said, lady, I don't want to be mean. Do you really mean or bad? Yeah. Said that fella Jackson and Sider, they're going crazy and all that crowd. Old Dale Gooden, that whole bunch of. Said they're down there. And said they've gone plumb wild, climbing trees and running. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, to help you, I'll send a car down. So he called Park Car 44, 42 or something, said go down to Pelham and pull up there on the highway and look over in the cow pasture. And I was up there just a-preaching. I didn't know it was a highway patrol. I was just a-preaching away, and there's running, and there's just shouting, and there's jumping, and there's a hollering. And that highway patrolman pulled up and cut that spotlight on and said, pew. And when he did, Sider's old big hand said, ooh. You know what happened to that guy? He cut his spotlight off and said, excuse me. And down the road he went. You say, Brother Mace, what was wrong? It'll scare the highway patrol of this. Bless God, when the power of God falls and heaven becomes real. Oh, you hear me? God blessed and great things happen in our churches. All around Greenville and Easley, all over Greer, churches were having revivals, and people were getting saved, and missionaries were being sent out, and preachers had the power of God upon them. I want to ask you something. Listen to me tonight. Let me give you something. You need that power. And he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then ye shall be my witnesses. That's that last great promise. We need that power, men. Oh, you couples that are going to mission field, you need that power. to go out, not in the name that you're going to represent of yourself, but in the name of the Lord, in the power of His name. And brother, you'll see things happen. You'll come back and you'll tell them, great things have the Lord wrought. Great things have He done, because there's a promise of the power of God for those that want that power. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. You know, I remember a young fine missionary, and I talked to him, and he said, I'm going down to a Baptist school and give squirts and Baptists on me. I said, well, you'll do about what Baptists can do if that's all you get. But if you'll get out there somewhere in the bushes and pray that the power of God falls on you, I said, you'll do what God can do when you get out there on that mission field. Years later, he came back, saddened and brokenhearted, and he said, Mays, thank you. Thank you. I said, I didn't do nothing. He said, you told me something 23 years ago, and I didn't believe it. And I wasted 22 years. But for the last year on the mission field, I've seen more happen than I saw in 22 years. Oh, he said, I've seen those witch doctors run. He said, I've seen great miracles happen. He said, I'm not talking about this charismatic ministry, but he said, I've seen God come in mighty power. People that we've prayed for. People have been persecuted for. He said, they melted like butter. And all because, he said, 1 year ago, the power of God fell on me. He said, if I could go back, get those 22 years now. Oh, what could have been done? But he said, I went in my own power and my own name. And he said, I couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. Let me give you something. I've never told Homer this. But I'm going to give you this for a second. You missionaries, remember that names are not everything. You see, remember, money's not everything. You got to have it. It's not everything. I made a rule many years ago. I'm 65 now. I guess my days won't be as long as they have been. But thank God for 27 years I preached 50 years, 50 weeks out of the year. And what a privilege that was. For 27 years to go 50 weeks out of the year, weeping over sinners, telling men that God loved them, trying to encourage them. Let me give you something. This will help you. Oh, for all of those years, I've seen God come in some of my meetings. I've seen people pray like Brother Wood said, they gather and pray and pray and pray and pray. I've seen great things. Let me tell you something. A few years ago, listen to me, I had my first attack in Chattanooga. I thought every preacher in Chattanooga hated me. I really did, except a few little fellas like I did that didn't believe me. For that long, I said, you ain't me. And I said, I'm going to get it cut tomorrow. Say amen. But I told her, I said, I got time to go pray. But I said, I want you to know that. But I want to tell you something. Brother P.D. Burgess will tell you, when I was carried to that hospital, twice they came out and said I was dead. It's on my record. Of course, that's wrong, because if I ever cross the river, I'm not coming back from you. That's all they said. Now, you put that down. But twice, right over here, you know where Erlanger is? That's where it was, Erlanger. They won't take you to East Ridge. And I said, no, sir, Erlanger. I knew enough to get out of East Ridge. I said, give me the Erlanger as quick as you can. And so we got the Erlanger. When I got able, my wife said, you can't believe the preachers have come by. I said, I'm not going to ask for a nickel on the radio. I'm not going to ask for a dime. I'm not even going to tell them a secret. We'll play old tapes. My wife stood there and she said, you told me something when we got married. You've never gone back on it. If you write me for revival and tell me how many you have in Sunday school, I won't come. Because I'm not interested in how many you have in Sunday school. I'm interested, if I can help your church and you, I'll come regardless whether you've got 10,000 or 5. Secondly, if you tell me how much money you'll give me, I won't come. I made that rule. I wish I could have broken it the other day, but my wife... I did. I wish I could have broken it. Really, I do. I was behind on the bills. A fellow called me from Oklahoma City. Now I get all my long distance calls free, so, but we won't go into that. He did give me that. But he said, Mr. Jackson, he said, I want you to come to my church. I'll give you $1,000 tonight, teach you 14 nights, give you $14,000, pay all of your expenses. And that's what I thought, Homer. That's what I thought. I thought it. And so when I said to my wife, I said, we'll have to write this. Oh, she said, I've already written. I told her this book for 10 years. And she said, I didn't lie. I didn't lie, Mae. And I said, boy, sure would have been good. Just squeeze that one little revival. She said, no, you've broken your promise to God. And she said, one reason I believe that God has been on your ministry, you've been honest. You told the people the truth. And you stuck with what you started with. I know a lot of preachers, they change. You can't tell. Homer knows. And they'll change them every week or thing. Listen to this. It's sad. The missionaries can go on the mission field and get up a little. And, boy, they won't know you when they come back. God blesses them. It's sad. It's sad a pastor would be like that. It's sad an evangelist is like that. Listen, we need that power. And there's a price to pay if you're going to have that power. You're going to have to pay the price. Tarry in Jerusalem, and you shall be endued with fire from on high. But as I laid in Erlanger right over here, I said, God, if you let me get up out of Erlanger Hospital, I promise you I'll never go on the pulpit till I step away and ask you for your power. I said, because I have none. I'm the least of the least. God, when you come and your power is with me, I said, then I can leave the church. I'd walk out of the building and turn back and say, Lord, but there, people were saved, hearts were blessed. Missionaries, to me, that's the promise of the power ever hidden by the gospel. The promise of the power.